Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes.
Anybody have teenagers? Yeah. Huh. You know the thing about teenagers? They're old enough to go places. They're just not old enough to get there. And so it makes it incumbent upon me, right? You got to drive everywhere. You know, Dad, we got to go here. We got to go here. We got to go here. You got to drive. I'm like a full-time Uber driver, except I don't get paid. And I got to take my kids everywhere. I wait for the phone to go off. It's always, "Dad, can you pick me up? Can you take me? Now, the upside to this, I'm not complaining. The upside to this is I get a lot of time with my kids, in the car, one-on-one. I was with my little girl, my sweet daughter. She's 15 years old. And I was with her, taking her someplace last week. And this little Eagles song came on the radio. "Take It Easy." It's a good song. You ever heard this song? Yeah, it's a good song. And it came on the radio. I was all fired up. I started playing both air guitar and drums on the steering wheel at the same time, as men are prone to do. And I was digging the moment. I was loving the song. And then out of nowhere, both of our arms, she's sitting in the passenger seat, and I'm sitting here, both of our arms simultaneously reached out for the radio. My right arm was going in like a missile for the dial to turn up the volume. Her left arm was going in to the dial on the other side to change the station. And I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm changing the station." I said, "Why?" She said, "That's a horrible song." I said, "What do you mean? That's not a horrible song. It's one of the best songs ever written. That's the late, great Glenn Frey coming out of the speaker. That's a great song." You know, teenage girl, she's like, "You give that, your daughter do that?" She gave me that. I said, "The song stays. We're leaving it on this song." She's sitting there, she's all pouting. About a minute into the song, she goes, "Where even is Winslow, Arizona?" Right? I'm like, "I don't even know myself. I'm not even sure it's relevant. It doesn't matter." But I was sitting there thinking, it's the same song. It's only one song. Same song. Both of us, profoundly different experiences with the same thing. Is it amazing to me how often two people can have the same experience but look at it in totally different ways? Has that ever happened? The same thing, the one experience, but you look at it from totally different perspectives. And if you don't believe me, you can do a little scientific experiment right after this sermon. About 20 minutes, go out of here, grab four or five strangers, doesn't matter who they are. Walk up to them, say, "We were just in the same service. What'd you think of the sermon?" This is serious, right? Some of them will say, "That was a great sermon. Well, I thought he was preaching just to me." just preaching to me is convicted. I'm all fired up now. This is great. I'm closer to Christ. And then you can ask the very next person, what do you think of the sermon? And they'll say, there was one. You know, there's a, seriously, the same thing. I'm not making this up, right? So you should ask somebody else. They'll say it was just so cold in there. It was just a freezing in there. I don't know who was in charge of the thermostat. And that's why you'll be locked in. Same experience. We're all in the same service. Some of you will say that, you know, the video, sermon series next week. I mean, it's the same service, but we will all look at it in a totally different way. Here's the truth. Your perspective determines your experience. Your perspective determines your experience. Now, at Easter, we don't just celebrate an event. We celebrate a perspective, a resurrection perspective. And that's my hope, that's my goal, that's my prayer for everybody in here, everybody watching online. I want you to leave out of here today with a resurrection perspective. Sometimes we struggle with the resurrection. We don't know if we believe it. We'll talk about that in a minute. Sometimes we do believe it. It's the same event, but it's our perspective that's going to determine our experience. Easter for sure is an event. Make no mistake, it is the foundational event of our faith. It is the hinge upon which our entire faith swings. Without the resurrection, we have nothing. The scripture says, without the resurrection, we ought to be pitied. Paul said, without the resurrection, we got nothing. There's a lot of people that came and taught good things. A lot of people claim to do miracles. The resurrection, the event, is foundational in our faith. But this is about more than just a special occasion. Easter is about a new way of life. Easter is about walking out of here living a new way of life, a life that truly believes that mercies are born every single day. New mercies are born every single day. We start over. A resurrection perspective says, no. All things really are possible. All things are truly possible in Christ. It is a resurrection perspective that says the sins of yesterday are truly forgiven. And it's not that by believing in the resurrection, somehow we don't go through stuff. I mean, come on, believing in the resurrection does not eliminate pain, it does not eliminate tragedy, it does not eliminate strife, it does not eliminate suffering. We go through things. It's just that when we have a resurrection perspective, we look at the same things with a different point of view. And what I love biblically is that we get so many different perspectives about the resurrection, same event. We got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they all four cover it. That's unique. Then Paul has a perspective on the resurrection. He references it. Peter references it in letters. John referenced, everybody's got a perspective on the resurrection, and they're all different. And today, in our few minutes together, I just want to talk to you about John's perspective. I want to look at the gospel according to John. John, to me, is subjective, but it's the most interesting. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you've never read the Bible, if you're new to Christianity, if you've never even picked up a Bible, there's Old Testament, there's a New Testament. You get to the New Testament, take a hard right, you're going to go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. There's four accounts of the life and times of Jesus. The fourth one of those is written by a guy named John, and I love John because John is not only informative, John is just downright entertaining, right? John is like that crusty, grumpy old man, right? He's like your grandfather that knows no embarrassment ever. They're so grizzled and so haggard and so scarred from life, and they are so rife with confidence they could give a rip what anybody else thinks. They're too old to worry about it. They're just going to fire away. They're going to let you know how they feel. They don't care what you say. They don't care if you get mad. I love John. And it's so bad for John that he also likes to speak in the third person about himself, right? You know, people like that. You know, Paul Rasmussen needs some water. You speak in the third person. You can't stand that when people do that, but there are people in the world. John does that. You'll see that in a minute. John speaks in the third person, and he's reflecting on Jesus, and he knows the context. Jesus had prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then he was arrested, and then he was railroaded through this sham court with these sham trials. Pilate, he's convicted. Then he's nailed to a cross. He's beaten. He's tortured. He is nailed to a cross where he hangs for 6 hours until he utters his blood-gurgling, final, painful words. And then the disciples take him off the cross and they wrap him in linen and would be appropriate for a clean, ritualistically clean burial. And before sundown, they found a tomb and they lay him in the tomb and then they seal the tomb, never to go in there again. Now, John, historically, scholars believe, you know, is at the cross with Mary. They both have a perspective. They both have a perspective. See, all the disciples have a perspective. They were all traumatized by the cross. The cross is ugly, right? The cross is painful. The cross is death. The cross is pain. The cross is execution. They all are traumatized. See, Peter's traumatized by the cross because he had betrayed Christ. Judas, wow, was he traumatized by the cross. See, he's the one that turned him in. John, traumatized by the cross. You can imagine Mary traumatized by seeing her son crucified. They're all traumatized, but it's your perspective that determines your experience. And so now, decades after the event, John, this grizzled old man, is referencing his perspective. He wants us to know his perspective. And to write that story, he writes himself into the story, right? In the third person. This is where it gets kind of cool. John 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark. Nobody pays attention to that. If they did, we wouldn't have sunrise services. See, Jesus was resurrected in the dark. We think it was early in the morning. No. He was resurrected in the dark. It's the light that comes into the darkness. Jesus was resurrected in the dark. It was still dark. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and she saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and she went to Simon Peter. Remember John speaking in the third person. John's the best. And the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. That's John. Right? You should know this. I thought he loved all the disciples. Apparently not. He only likes this one guy who happens to be writing the text. Mary said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." John, reflecting on this, as Mary gets there, there's a big gaping hole. She has a perspective. She doesn't see anyone in the tomb. She runs back. She tells her perspective, "They've taken the body." How many times in your life has your first perspective about someone or something been wrong? Isn't it true that most of the time, maybe our first perspective about someone or something is wrong, right? You met the guy of your dreams. He's awesome. First perspective, and then you realize, whoa, he's not so awesome. You see him talking about you at your office. Oh, what are they saying? They're gossiping, our first perspective, but they're just planning your birthday party, right? See, our first perspective sometimes is not always the most accurate. It is your perspective that determines your experience. Mary's experience now says, you know what? They must have taken the body away. Verse 3, then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together. John is awesome. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. See, you just read right through this stuff. You never think about it, man. He's all competitive. He is working for a victory, man. He wants you to know he was pining for a victory. He was faster than Peter. He kicked Peter's tail on Easter morning. This is important to John. Not only did Jesus love him the most, but he was faster and more athletic than Peter. Then verse 5 says, he bent down to look in and he saw the linen wrapping lying there. But he did not go in. The Greek word for saw there is very, very important. See, it's the word see. But in this case, it means to actually see. It's simply the physical ability of the eye to see. Greek word for see means to see. It's not more complex than that. He saw the linen with his eyes, but he did not go in. He gets to the tomb, he looks inside, but he doesn't go in. He's on the outside looking in, but he doesn't go in. I'm looking in, I'm trying to figure out what happened from the outside looking in, but I'm not going in. And come on, doesn't that describe a lot of us in the room this morning? Right, we're interested in this thing called faith, and we're on the outside looking in, trying to figure it out. We're looking in, but we're not going in. We look in, but we're not going in. You know, trying to make you feel guilty, but sometimes you only show up for church on Christmas and Easter. You're looking in. You're not going in. John wants you to know that he was like that. See, John's not calling us out. John was saying, that's the way I was. He's 70, 80 years old. He's looking back on this, saying, let me just tell you about the time, because your perspective determines your experience. And I was on the outside looking in, trying to figure the whole thing out. And I saw with my eyes the linens laying there. And he's trying to assess the situation. See, so many of us, we try to assess from the outside looking in this thing called faith. And we're interested, and we're curious, and we're mystified, and we're baffled, and we're trying to figure it out. But we want to figure it out from the outside looking in. Before we go in, isn't it true that there are just some things in your life that are just never, ever, ever going to make sense from the outside looking in? And you and I can spend our whole life trying to figure out God, reading and learning and looking on the outside, looking in. We can spend our whole life trying to figure this out. John says, that's what I was like. I was trying to figure it out. And he may have been faster than Peter, but he wasn't bolder. Now, Peter, probably a smoker, huffing and puffing, comes in there. John whipped him, but now he's coming in a few minutes later, and he's totally impulsive and bold. He just walks right in the tomb. So I'm going in. I'm not going to look in. I'm going in. Verse 6, then Simon Peter came following him, and he went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there. It's the same verb, isn't it? Not really. He saw the linen wrappings lying there. It's the same sentence that John said. But the Greek word is totally different for the verb to see. See, the first time when John sees it, it's just his eye. This is a totally different Greek word. This comes from the word theorio, and it means where we get our word theorize. It means that you investigate, you discern, you scrutinize. This is like CSI. He went in and he really locked in on trying to figure this thing out. When he says he saw the linens, it's not that just he saw them. He was trying to scrutinize, trying to go, wait a minute, I think that's what we buried Jesus in. I got to figure this out. So he sees the linens lying there, and he's trying to figure it out. And how cool is it in life, those times when God leaves behind evidence for you to discover, just to remember that God really hadn't gone anywhere in the first place. He saw the linens. And you have this phrase, and John's describing this. And John is saying, let me tell you what I did. I stood there looking from the outside in, trying to figure out, and I couldn't do it. It didn't make any sense. So I needed a new perspective. I needed a new perspective. Verse 8, I love this. Then the other disciple, again, John, the third person, he's the greatest. Then the other disciple, by the way, in case you forgot, who reached the tomb first, remember that? Yeah, I was looking for victory. He just really wants us to know. Talk about insecurity, right? Who reached the tomb for also went in, and he saw and believed. There's that word saw again. It's the third time. Totally different word. First time he says, I saw it with my eyes. Then he tells us about Peter who saw it, who scrutinized, who investigated. And then this one means to figure out the significance of. Three totally different words. Same word. Different meaning. He figured out the significance of. He looks at the wrappings. And the scripture goes on to say, he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Now, some of you today are on the outside looking in, and you're trying to make sense of something that you're only going to understand when it becomes up close and personal. Isn't that true that things change for you when they get personal? I mean, if it's just theory, come on, but it's personal. I remember before I had children, confessionally, I didn't do very well with babies, right? I didn't like babies. I didn't like your babies. I didn't want to see pictures of your babies. I didn't want to hold your babies. Just telling you, this before ministry, before baptisms. I was scared to death. I don't know if I can be a good parent. I don't like children. They said, Paul, don't worry about it. When you have your own, it'll be personal. It'll change. And you know, they're right. Now I love kids. Love kids. Love holding them. Can't wait to see your pictures. Now I love kids. It had to change. How? It had to be personal. It had to become personal. This is what John wants us to know. See, I had to go from the outside looking in. I had to get in. I had to see the linen garments. I had to see the bloodstains. I had to see. This had to be personal. And that's ultimately what Easter is about, right? It's an invitation to go from the outside to the inside. It's an invitation to everybody. It's not just about an event. It's not just a special occasion. It is an invitation to you. It is an invitation to me to stop sitting on the outside, seeing and observing and not being able to figure it out, and to take a gigantic leap on the inside. But that heaven is open. Come on in. Grace is open. Love is open. Peace is open. All the things that you want in life are wide open. You just got to step in. No matter how long you've had doubts, it's open. No matter what you did yesterday, it is open. No matter how long you've waited outside the tomb, it is open. No matter how long you've been trying to figure out God, it is open. No matter how long it took you to get to the tomb, it is open. It's an invitation to come in. And John wants us to know the transformation that he had in perspective. So John, now looking at the same strips of linen that he couldn't figure out when he was on the outside looking in, now they've taken on a different meaning. Why? Same linens. This is a different perspective. He's got a different view. And for the first time in his life, he begins to see his own life not through the lens of the cross. The cross is ugly. The cross is pain. The cross is death. He says, I'm tired of looking at my life through the lens of the cross. I want to look at it through the lens of an empty tomb. I'm tired. See, the cross is death and despair and hopelessness. But an empty tomb, that's different. That's power and potential and promise and purpose. It's the same event. It's a different perspective. And suddenly, John is not alone. See, they were all traumatized by the cross. Some of them got a new perspective about the cross. Judas was traumatized by the cross, and you know what? His perspective led him to take his own life. John was traumatized by the cross until he began to look at it from an empty tomb. That's a different perspective. And isn't it cool that the very same disciples that all fled as cowards when Jesus was arrested now are willing to give up their life for the very same guy? How does that happen? How do you move from being a coward to being courageous? You don't unless you embrace a new perspective. And they all changed and they all began to say, wait a minute, we were looking at life through the cross. What if we looked at life through the lens of an empty tomb? And I think that's the question we all face on Easter. Do you view your life from the perspective of the cross, or do you view it from the perspective of an empty tomb? Because I'm telling you, if you view your life through an empty tomb, it is amazing how much courage you have. It is amazing how little you fear. It is amazing how few opportunities come your way that you think are dead in streets. But if you look at your life through the lens of the cross, all you see is death. All you see is despair. All you see is doom. At Easter, the choice is yours. John said, I spent all those years pining for victory. So much so, I wanted you to know how cocky I was in my race with Peter. See, I was all about for victory. I lived my life for victory. But when I went on the inside, I changed. It was no longer for victory. It was from victory. You ever been on a sports team and you were up so big that you knew victory was imminent? How confident did you get? There's no way we lose. That's what John is saying. Don't you get tired of just living for victory? Constantly trying to prove yourself? Constantly worry that you don't measure up? Constantly worry that dead end, despair, despair, despair. John says to stop it. Stop it with a for victory. Let me tell you what I was about. I ran to the tomb. I was for, but when I went inside, it was, I'm living my life from victory now. I'm not scared of anything, not even death. Just last week, we had a Palm Sunday service in here. It was great. The band was all primed and fired up. We had a big high-energy song. Everybody was singing. It's not exactly true. The band was primed. We had a high-energy song, and nobody was singing. But there was a guy down here sitting right where you are in this front row, and he had a giant smile on his face. He was standing up erect, singing. A huge smile. Just singing. It was awesome. But I even wasn't paying him much attention, and Ashley, my wife, sitting behind me, she tapped me on the shoulder. I turned around and said, what's up? She said, look at that man. I said, what man? She said, the guy right there in the front row. I said, yeah, that's pretty cool, isn't it? She said, look at that grin. Would you look at that grin? And this is my wife. She said, everybody in here ought to be like that guy. I looked back at her. I said, do you know who that guy is? She said, no. I said, let me tell you about that guy. That's my friend Chad Mooney. He has inoperable and, short of a miracle, incurable cancer. We have no idea how long Chad will be with us. That's that guy. And that's the one she said everybody in here ought to be like. I went to Chad afterwards. I said, Chad, I'm going to tell you something. Never seen anything like it in my life. I don't know how you do it. He began to talk. We shared stories. That's the kind of guy I want to be like. That's a resurrection perspective. That's somebody that would love to live to be 1,000, but let me tell you, they're not scared of anything. That's not living for victory, that's living from victory. I get tired of living my life for victory, thinking I always fail. I want to wake up tomorrow and I just want to say, you know what? I'm not scared of life. I'm not scared of death. Bring it on. I've got the power of the risen Christ at my back. I am a child of God. I am a person of faith. I am a beloved believer in the empty tomb. And I want to be like Chad Mooney. I'm tired of my mealy-mouthed problems getting in the way, thinking death, 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 no. I don't want to be scared of anything. I asked Chad to join me today. Chaddy, I love you, man. See, Chad's not just a sermon illustration. He's a person that wakes up every day with a resurrection perspective. And it's the same perspective that's available to every single one of us. That's why Jesus paid the price that he paid and walked out of the tomb 3 days later. So that you and I could decide the perspective from which we decide to view our life. And my prayer for you is real simple. When you leave out of here today, you'll give some great consideration to the perspective that you've been looking on the outside in, trying to figure this whole thing called faith out. You'll take a big old step in, you'll make it personal, and you'll begin to embrace a resurrection perspective. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise. We confess today, Lord, we are often on the outside looking in, trying to figure out what you're all about before we step in. Lord, help us to embrace this narrative that John gave us about his own conversion, his own experience, and maybe it'll mean something to us. And help us, Lord, to stop playing all the time for victory, but to live from victory. Seems like life would be a whole lot better for all of us if that's what we do. Lord, even though we don't understand, even though we doubt, even though many of us are late and hesitant to even get to the tomb, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the story of Easter. We give you thanks for the power of resurrection. And Lord, help us today to claim it in our own lives. In your son's name we pray. Amen.